بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, our topic of discussion is going to be a very, very brief summary of the importance of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and then some details related to ahkam, or rulings related to the Eid Salat. Originally, I had intended tonight to talk about and summarize some matters related to the virtue and the excellence and superiority of the first ten days of Dhul Hijjah. But because when I looked at the other notes, the ahkam of Salat al-Eid from Sheikh Salih Fawzan, they were so long, I said to myself, there's no way I'm going to be able to finish them. So even, there's no way I'm not going to be able to finish them, but in any case, I'll just try to do as much as possible. And I'll just mention here, because of the importance of the subject of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the hadith that's well known, it's reported by Bukhari and others. The narration that I want to mention is the narration that is the wording from Abu Dawood, in which is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ صَالِ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَيَّامِ يعني أيام العشرة. That there are no days in which good deeds done in those days, are going to be more beloved than the good deeds done in these days, these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Meaning that whatever good deeds a person does in any other days, they're not going to be as beloved as the good deeds done in these days. They said, Ya Rasulullah, wala al-jihad fi sabilillah. They said, O Messenger of Allah, not even. And if a person has done jihad in those other days, he said, wala al-jihad fi sabilillah illa rajulun kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi thumma lam yarji bi shay'in min dhalika. Except that a person goes out in the way of Allah in jihad with their life on the line and their wealth and property, and they didn't return with anything of that. Yani they lost their life and they lost their property in jihad in the way of Allah. That's the only deed that a person could do that would be more beloved to Allah in other days than these days. And there's no doubt that this hadith is a hadith that we need to just keep reading every day. Because unfortunately, as human beings, and I don't want to go into any detail here, alhamdulillah, we have Imam discussed it in some detail in his class, and I'm sure that we've heard this hadith before, but I do want to say that as human beings, even though we know something is good, we often find ourselves falling short in actually acting upon it. So it's incumbent upon us to remind, وَذَكِّرَ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we have to remind one another, and we have to remind ourselves, so that we don't neglect the importance of these days and allow them to pass us by. Half of them are gone already. Today was the fifth day of Dhul Hijjah, and this is the sixth. Night coming before the day. So only 5 days remain. And if 5 days passed us by, and we have neglected them, I'll say we, I'm going to include you with me. I'm not going to do as the Imam did in the khutbah today. He said, I have neglected them. I think, we have all neglected them in reality, in terms of what is due to Allah. We haven't given Allah His due right. Then we have to do better. And the first thing, as the Imam reminded us today in the khutbah, is a tawbah. And a tawbah for neglecting these days, for neglecting taking advantage of the opportunity in these days that Allah has graciously given to us. And then tawbah in general, for all other things that we have done in disobedience to Allah and our shortcomings in fulfilling the obligations that are upon us, and not taking advantage of all of the opportunities from the generosity of Allah that He gives us all the time, every day. And not only have we engaged in acts of disobedience, but we have also neglected to do so many things that we know are good and will be in our interest to do, in our favor, that will benefit us and no one else. And we didn't do them. And we need to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of that. And of course, the deeds that are most important are Hajj and Umrah. yani for those who are able, and those who are not, then there's yani so many other things, the prayers, the obligatory prayers and voluntary prayers and extra prayers, and there's fasting, especially in these days, is really, really important, except of course on the day of Eid. And then there's charity, which is always good, and it's a trial and a test for most people, because yani the people who have a lot of money, they just want more, and the people who have a little bit of money are afraid to give up the little bit that they have. So this is a test. Yani the wealth is a test and the poverty is also a test. So giving charity is really, really important and extremely beneficial. And then there are lots of other things. Of course, the easiest of them and probably the most important of them is a dhikr and a dua. Yani we should be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah, especially the adhkar al-sabah wal-masa and the adhkar after the five obligatory prayers. These are so very important. May Allah grant us tawfiq. And one of the things that we should be doing is asking Allah to give us tawfiq, to give us success in taking advantage of these days before they are gone, and then to give us success in life in general for the remainder of whatever we have in front of us before we return to Him. Ameen ya Rabb. Okay, so what I want to go on to talk about here is a little bit of details. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him, one of the leading scholars of the people of Sunnah in the world today. I think recognized by Muslims every place in the earth, and the people of Sunnah recognize the station and the status of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. May Allah protect and preserve him. One of the most serious scholars that I have ever seen in my life. And in person, he's the same way, yani, that you saw him in the yani video or whatever you saw him on. He's extremely, extremely serious. Yani, a person who appears, who gives you the impression, and it is yani real, that this matter is real, that this life is temporary, it's short, it's fleeting, and we need to be taking advantage of it. There's no time for play. This is very, very serious. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his book, The Summary of Islamic Jurisprudence. I think the book is maybe at least 800 or 900 pages. And that's his summary of Islamic jurisprudence. He has a chapter dealing with the ahkam of Salatul Eid. And like I said, it's very, very lengthy. But yani, I have already kind of like crossed out some paragraphs just for the sake of trying to complete whatever we can, yani the least important, and try to go to that which is most important. Some of it is what we already know, and some of it is what we might not know. And of course, all of us are different, so I don't know any who knows what, but I think some things are a little bit probably more needed and necessary from these many pages of what he has written. So let me just get right on with it. And pardon me if, yani, I stumble a little bit, because I'm going to be trying to finish, and also trying to skip yani whatever is possible to skip. So the Shaykh, he begins by saying, Salatul Eidain, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, Mashru'a bil-Kitabi wa Sunnah wa Ijma' al-Muslimin. Yani these two prayers, the prayers of the two Eids, that is the Eid al-Fitr and the Eid al-Adha, and Eid al-Fitr after the month of Ramadan, and Eid al-Adha on the occasion of Hajj, both of them are legislated based upon that which we found in the Quran, and in the Sunnah, and in the Ijma' of the Muslims. And I just want to comment here and say that yani legislation in Islam is primarily, yes, based upon the Quran and Sunnah, but there's also other sources of legislation in Islam. And from the most important of them after the Quran and Sunnah is Ijma', yani something that is agreed upon, yani there's yani consensus upon it amongst the Muslims. The Shaykh goes on to say that the pagan disbelievers used to have Eids that are related to certain times of the year or certain places. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Islam, came to invalidate those Eids. And I want to say here that all of the Eids, holidays, celebrations, festivals that are other than what is legislated by Allah are rejected and invalid, and Muslims have to be clear on that, that these are not our days. It doesn't matter if it's Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Christmas, New Year's, Easter, whatever it is. Any pagan African holidays, festivals, whatever. Islam came to invalidate all of those things. Sheikh says, and that Allah has given in place of them Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And this is as a means of gratitude to Allah the Most High for allowing us to complete these magnificent two acts of worship. That is the fast of Ramadan and the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, the sacred house of Allah. And in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh goes on to say, وَصَحَّ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَدِمَ الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ لِأَهْلِهَا يَوْمَانِ يَلْعَبُونَ فِيهِمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُمَا يَوْمَ النَّهْرِ وَيَوْمَ الْفِطْرِ. Yani when it is authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he arrived to Medina, and when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, he found that the people of Medina had 2 days in which they used to celebrate. They used to have festivals that they used to, and he had fun, enjoyment, amusement in these days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani the point of the hadith, this is not the whole hadith, but the Shaykh mentions this point of the hadith. He says that the Prophet ﷺ informed the people that Allah has replaced these 2 days that he found that the people from Jahiliyyah were celebrating, has replaced them with that which is khayran minhuma, better than them. And what Allah has given us is better than whatever was there before. Whatever was there before. And that is the day of Nahr, yani the day of sacrifice, yani Eid al-Adha, and the day of Fitr, of breaking the fast after completing the month of Ramadan. Shaykh says, فَلَا تَجُوزُ الزِّيَادَ عَلَى هَذَيْنِ عِيدَيْنِ بِإِحْدَاثِ أَعْيَادِ أُخْرَى الْأَعْيَادِ الْمُوَالِيدِ وَغَيْرِهَا. He said, so it is not permissible to add, to increase upon these 2 days of celebration, 2 Eids, by inventing some other days of celebration, days of festivals or festivities, like the days of the Eids that they made up for the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or other than that, just people celebrating their birthdays or whatever it might be. He said, لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ زِيَادَةٌ عَلَى مَا شَرَعُهُ اللَّهِ وَابْتِدَاعٌ فِي الدِّينِ وَمُخَالِفَةٌ لِسُنَّةِ سَيِّدِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالتَّشَبُّلْ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. He said that we cannot make up any other days, because this would be adding something to what Allah has legislated. And it would be inventing something in the deen that doesn't have any basis in the deen. And it would be opposing the sunnah of the leader of all prophets and messengers. And it would be imitating the disbelievers. For all of these reasons that the Shaykh mentions here. And he summarizes, yani, subhanAllah, there's no need for more than that. Why is it that we cannot, yani, accept these other holidays? Because this would be adding something to what Allah has legislated. Like, how can we add something to what Allah has legislated for us? And it would be inventing, yani, making up something new in the deen of Allah. Yani, Allah completed this deen and made it perfect. And how can we think that we can bring something to add to it? He said also it is in opposition, in contradiction to the sunnah of the leader of all the messengers. And it is imitation of the disbelievers. Doesn't matter what they call these Eids, by whatever name they call them, and all of it is rejected. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَن تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people, then he is one of them. And he becomes included as a part of them. He is attached to them. And he is associated with them. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the person became a kafir, but it means that, yani, you became identified with those people. And depending on what it is that you're imitating them in, if you're imitating them in their religion, then you may go out of Islam. But every imitation is not the same, but the point is, any time the Muslims imitate other people, then the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does so, then he is one of them. And the Prophet ﷺ also said, إِنَّ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرُ الْحَدِيِّ حَدِيُّ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ محدثاتها وكل بدع ضلالة. That indeed the best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the most evil of affairs are those newly invented matters, and every innovation is misguidance. All of this is to make us to know, yani, the value of the Eids that Allah has legislated for us, and the, yani, the uselessness of anything else that the people in the earth in history in any time have invented. Allah has given us that which is best. خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُمَا. And then we want something else. SubhanAllah. And then we want to accept something else. The Shaykh closes by supplicating, saying, may Allah show us the truth, to be the truth, and then bless us to follow it and make us to to see falsehood as falsehood and enable us to avoid it, to distance ourselves from it. The Shaykh says, the dalil of the mashru'iyyah to Salat al-Eid, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَى. So therefore, perform prayer to your Rabb and make the sacrifice. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. So indeed, they have been successful. That is, those who purify themselves and who remember the name of their Rabb. And then they perform prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rightly guided Khulafa al-Rashideen after him, they were consistent and continuous in this practice, yani of performing, of observing the Eid, yani the two Eids that Allah has legislated for us. Then the Shaykh goes on to say, from amongst those things that have been legislated in the Sunnah, or those who have been legislated to go out, I'm sorry, من يسن له الخروج لصلاة العيد. Yani who is it that the Sunnah has indicated should go out, yani should leave their homes and go out to participate in the Salatul Eid? He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the people to go out, even the women. So it is also from the Sunnah that the women attend, but he said غير متطيبة, without yani perfuming themselves, nor wearing clothing of attraction or adornment. And he said, and the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, the Shaykh doesn't give the reference for the hadith, but this is a part of a hadith that's reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and it is Sahih. He said, وَلِيَخْرُجْنَا تَفِلَاتْ. Yani the Shaykh mentions this part of a hadith that's reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and that is that the women must go out without perfuming themselves. And then the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, says that, and the women should also distance themselves, yani not intermingle with the men. And even the women who are menstruating women, they must also yani distance themselves from the actual prayer area, yeah, the place where the prayer is being performed. And then he mentions from Atiyyah radiallahu anha that she said, we were commanded to go out on the day of Eid. Even the virgin girls should come out of their private quarters, and even the women who are menstruating women, they should also come out. And they should be, yani the menstruating women, they should be on the place, yani in the general area, but behind the people, yani distancing themselves from the actual place of prayer. And they should be saying the takbir with the people as they are saying takbir, and they should be supplicating as the people are supplicating, and they should hope for the barakah of that day and the purification of sins. The Shaykh, he says that going out for the Salatul Eid and the performance of the Salatul Eid in this manner, such that it is witnessed, al-mashhud min al-jami'ah, such that it is witnessed by all of the people, fihi izhar li sha'air al-Islam, fahiya min a'lam ad-deen al-zahira. Yani this action of the Muslims going out, and the greatest thing that I ever saw, yani even though I lived in Medina for many years, the greatest thing that I ever saw was when I was living in Egypt, in the city of Iskandariya. Yani the first time I attended the Eid there, I came out of my house and we went down to the main street, and the street was full of thousands of people on the road walking to the Eid prayer, walking to the place of Eid prayer. Thousands and thousands of thousands. I didn't see that any place in any other country that I lived in, and I lived in many Muslim countries in the world. And this is what the Shaykh is referring to here. This sight of the Muslims going out for this occasion, this is an indication of the strength and the greatness of the Muslims and the magnificence of Islam. And the people going out to perform this prayer. And it is from the Sunnah to walk, of course, perhaps, maybe the places where we might be performing the prayer might be too far for a person to walk. But, and it should be, according to the Sunnah, the place of the Eid prayer should be close to where the people are, yani at the outskirts of the city. But of course Medina was a very small city, yani the whole size of Medina was yani bigger as the masjid is now. So the Eid prayer ground was right outside of where the Prophet's masjid is right now. The extended masjid of the Prophet, right outside the boundaries of the masjid, was where they used to perform the Eid prayer. So it was close, and the people could walk. All of the people could walk to the Eid ground. And if people are able, then we should do it. This is a sunnah that for the most part has been lost. But in this modern time, I saw this myself, in this modern time. And while people have cars and buses and planes, people walking a long distance to the Eid ground. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And that is an amazing sight to see. And I've got sidetracked a little bit. May Allah help me to stay on track. So we can try to finish some of this, what the Shaykh has said here. Okay, so the Shaykh, he says here that this is from the symbols of Islam. And the signs, the apparent signs of Islam. Then the Shaykh goes on to say the first prayer, Eid prayer, that the Prophet ﷺ performed was on the day of Eid al-Fitr, in the second year of the Hijrah. And in the second year after he had migrated from Mecca to Medina. And then the Prophet ﷺ was continuous and consistent and regular in performing the Eid prayers in their times until he left this world. Salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. And then the Muslims, the later Muslims following the practice of the earlier Muslims, continued in performing and fulfilling this obligation and performing these prayers. To such an extent, the Shaykh says that if all the Muslims in a particular land who fulfilled the conditions for the obligation of the Eid prayer, if they abandoned it, then the Imam of the Muslims, and of course we don't have an Imam of the Muslims today, I mean we have Imams of every masjid, but you don't have a leader of the Muslims, then he should fight against them. And that is because this is from the outward signs of Islam that must be made manifest in the same way that the Adhan must be called in any place where there are Muslims. The Shaykh goes on to say the place of the establishment of Salatul Eid, he said it is important, it is incumbent that the Salatul Eid be performed in a wide, open, spacious area, near to the place where the people live. And that's because the Prophet ﷺ used to perform the two Eid prayers in the Musalla that was Alladhi ala Bab al-Madinah. Yani it was at outside of the city of Medina, immediately when you leave the city of Medina. And it's narrated from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يخرج في الفطر والأضحى إلى المصلى. This hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go outside of the city for these two occasions, for the fitr and the adha. And then he said, and it has not been conveyed to us, it has not been transmitted to us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Eid prayer in a masjid, except if there was an excuse for doing so. Except that, yani they were unable to pray outside. And this is because, yani going out to the area outside of the immediate city, yani to the spacious, yani areas, out wide open areas, that this is more effective and has a greater impact in showing the strength of the Muslims and the strength of Islam, and also in manifesting the outward signs and symbols of this deen. And there's no difficulty in doing so. And also because because it's not something that we do a lot, it's not like the Jumu'ah prayer that has to be performed every week, but rather it's just something that comes twice a year. And he said that this ruling of the prayer, and it being sunnah that the prayer should be performed in an outside area, the exception to it is in Mecca. فَإِنَّا تُصَلِّ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah has some discussion concerning this, the performance of the prayer in the masjid in Mecca, perhaps we might come back to it, but just for the sake of time, there is some reasoning, and from amongst the reasoning is that the Shaykh mentions, most important of it is because of the Kaaba. The sacredness of praying at the Kaaba and the reward of the prayer performed at the Kaaba, and how you go someplace else and pray. And he mentions some other things, but that's the most important thing of what he said. Then he talks about the time of Salatul Eid. Time of Salatul Eid. Here, this is very important that we think about these things. The Shaykh, and may Allah protect and preserve him, is giving us some legal rulings and guidelines from the what Allah has legislated. And we have to examine ourselves and see to what extent we are following those guidelines and to what extent we have gone away from them. And we have to try to do better. So as far as the time of the Salatul Eid, as we all know, in every city in America and in many places around the world, there are many masjids, and every masjid has the Eid Salah at its own time. And one masjid, it might be 7 o'clock, and another one 8 o'clock, and another one 9 o'clock, and another one 10 o'clock, and maybe another 11 o'clock. And in some places, I know where most of my siblings live in Springfield, Massachusetts, the big Islamic center there, that is the biggest masjid there, they have about 3 Eid Salats. One at 8 o'clock, one at 9 o'clock, one at 10 o'clock, just all morning. Look what the Shaykh says here. What is the time for Salatul Eid? إِذَا ارْتَفَعَتْ الشَّمْسْ بَعْدَ تُلُوعِهَا قَدْرَ رَمْحْ when the sun has risen, at sunrise, when the sun has risen, the length of a spear, the distance of a spear, just above the horizon, when the sun has just gone above the horizon. And this is because this was the time in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform the prayer in it. And his time extends up until Zawal al-Shams, until the sun is at its highest point in the sky of the zenith or the meridian. So there's no doubt that the time of this prayer, there's a period of time that it can be performed, in the beginning of his time, and there's the end of his time. And then the Shaykh goes on to say, and this is an important part of this particular discussion, he says it is established in the Sunnah, taqdeem salatul adha wa ta'akhir salatul fitr. That the salat of Eid al-Adha should be advanced. Its time should be done earlier. And the time of the Salatul Eid al-Fitr should be delayed, should be performed a little bit later. And this is from what is reported by Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, but it's mursal, a mursal narration. And a mursal narration just means that a tabi'i, second generation person narrated the hadith without mentioning the companion. He narrated it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In general, the mursal hadith is a weak hadith, but in any case, not always, not in every case. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has written a letter to Amr ibn Hazm, and ajjala al-adha wa akhir al-fitr, to hasten the salat on Eid al-Adha and to delay somewhat the prayer and the Eid al-Fitr. And he said, this is so that we will extend or expand the time for sacrificing on the day of Adha. The people, will pray early and they will have more time to make the sacrifice. And likewise, to extend the time of distributing Zakat al-Fitr before the Salat on Eid al-Fitr. Meaning what? That the prayer on the Eid al-Adha should be prayed earlier, in the beginning of its time, so there's more time for people to make their sacrifice, and be able to bring their animal home and do whatever they have to do to cook and eat from it, whatever. As far as Eid al-Fitr, the prayer should be delayed. Why? Because the best time for the distribution of Zakat al-Fitr is in the morning before the Salat al-Eid. So the Salat al-Eid Fitr should be delayed so that people have more time on the morning of Eid to distribute Zakat al-Fitr. If it hasn't been distributed the night before or one or two days before that, which is also permissible. But the best time that it should be distributed, if a person is able to do so, is on the day of Eid before coming to the Salat al-Eid. And therefore the time of the Eid Salat on Eid al-Fitr should be delayed to give people more time to distribute the Zakat. The foodstuffs that they're going to distribute. Some of the things, the Shaykh mentions just three things here, but some of the things... Thank you for looking at that clock. Yeah. Some of the things that are from the Sunnah or that are mustahab to do for Salatul Eid. And he mentions three main things, and there are lots of other things as well, but he mentions three things here. He said that it is from the Sunnah to eat before going out for Salatul Fitr. To eat some dates before you go out before the prayer for Eid al-Fitr. And that a person does not eat on the day of Nahr, on the day of Eid al-Adha, until they pray first. It's Sunnah that a person eat before they go for the Eid al-Fitr, and that to eat some dates and an odd number of dates if possible, and that they do not eat before going out to Eid al-Adha. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has a fatwa concerning this issue of not eating before Eid al-Adha. And he says, in brief, I'll summarize what he said. He said that this is in reference to the person who's making a sacrifice, that they shouldn't eat, rather they should perform the prayer and then make their sacrifice and eat from their sacrifice, if a person is able to do that. As for the person who's not making a sacrifice, this is not applicable, that they yani should not eat before going to Eid al-Adha. He said, we couldn't say anything to a person if they're not making a sacrifice and they eat before they came to Eid al-Adha. In any case, this is a sunnah, that a person who's going to make a sacrifice, that it's better that they perform the prayer first, make the sacrifice and eat from it. And as far as Eid al-Fitr, it's better that a person eat some dates to show Ramadan is completed, the fast is over, and we are not fasting on this day of Eid. And the Shaykh says the evidence for this is what is reported from Buraydah. He said that the Prophet ﷺ didn't used to go out on Yawm al-Fitr until he broke his fast and he ate something. And he didn't used to eat on Yawm al-Nahr until he prayed the prayer first, reported by Imam Ahmed and others. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, says concerning this matter, since Allah mentioned the salat before the sacrifice in his saying, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَى. Yani since Allah mentioned the salat before the sacrifice, and he mentioned the tazakki, the purification, before the salat in his saying, قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And since he mentioned here in the second ayat, he mentions the zakah before he mentions the salat. He said this is, from this we understand that the sunnah is that the sadaqah, the zakat, should be given before the salat on the day of Eid al-Fitr. And that the sacrifice should be done after the salat on the day of Eid al-Adha. Yani these ayats are indications that yani one act precedes the other, and that's the way we found it in the sunnah. The second matter that the Shaykh mentions from the sunnah in reference to what a person should do for Salatul Eid, he said it is sunnah at-tabkir fil khuruj li Salatul Eid. Yani that it is from the sunnah that a person go out for the Salatul Eid early. And this is also an abandoned sunnah to the extent today that even when the prayer is made to be yani sunrise is but Allahu musta'an, 5:45, and we are praying like 3 or 4 hours later, and people still don't come to the prayer on time. To the extent that after the prayer is performed and the khutbah is given, then a second jama'ah is performed of people who came 5 hours late. From the sunnah of going out for the Salatul Eid is to go early. And the Shaykh says, number one, so that a person will be able to be near to the Imam. This is a virtue. This is a merit. This is a fadl, that a person is near to the Imam. Yani we should try to be near to the Imam. Not come to the Eid grounds and sit in the back, in the 100th row. We should try to be near to the Imam, for the men. And the women, of course, yani it's the opposite, right? And also so that a person will get the merit or the virtue or the excellence of intidhar salat. Yani there's reward in a person coming early waiting for the salat. There's reward in that. Yani some people said, what time is the salat? Now, I don't know what time the takbir begins. I don't know what time is the salat. I just want to get there in time for the salat. There's a reward in waiting for the salat. And the Shaykh also says, so that, yani coming early so that a person's reward will be increased, so that a person will get more reward. The third thing he says that's from the sunnah for the Salat al-Eid, he said, it is also from the sunnah that a person, that a Muslim, yani wear their best clothing for the Salat al-Eid. Yani that they wear the best of their clothing. This is based on the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhuma. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have a suit of clothing, a hulla, that he used to wear on the two Eids and on Yawmul Jumu'ah. He used to wear something special, reported by Ibn Khuzaym in his Sahih, and also it's reported that Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he used to wear the best of his clothing on the occasions of the Eids. Reported by Imam al-Bayhaqi with Isnadin Jayyid. The Shaykh now goes on to the topic of the number of rak'at and Salatul Eid and yani its relation in timing to the khutbah of Eid. The Salatul Eid is 2 rak'ah before the khutbah. And this is based on the saying of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, they used to perform the Eid prayers قبل الخطبة, before the khutbah. Muttafaqun alayh, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the sunnah is replete, yani with plenty of evidences for such. The Shaykh says, wa alayhi amat al-ahl al-ilm, and this was the practice of the people of knowledge in general, yani across the board. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi says, wal amal alayhi inda ahl al-ilm min ashabi al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ghayrihim. And the Salatul Eidain qabla al-khutbah. And Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah says that the practice amongst the people of knowledge from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhum and others besides them is that the Salat on the occasion of the 2 Eids is before the khutbah. The wisdom behind this, the Shaykh says, in delaying the khutbah after the Salatul Eid and in advancing it before Salatul Jumu'ah. Yani the wisdom behind delaying the khutbah to come after the Salat on Salat on the day of Eid, but making the khutbah before the Salat on Jumu'ah is because the khutbah of Jumu'ah is a shart for the Salat. It is a condition for the validity of the prayer. And the thing that is a shart must become before the thing that it is a condition for. And it has to precede the thing that it is a condition for, as opposed to the khutbah of Eid, which is a sunnah. It's not a condition for the validity of the prayer. So a person can perform the prayer and they may leave, and the prayer is valid. Then the Shaykh says the evidence for this, that the 2 prayers of Eid, that they are 2 rak'ah, is by ijma of the Muslims, and it's also reported in the 2 sahihs of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and other than them from Abdul ibn Abbas, that the Prophet ﷺ went out on the day of Fitr, and he performed the prayer as 2 rak'ah. وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ قَبْلَهُمَا وَلَا بَعَدَهُمَا. And he didn't perform any prayer before them, before the Eid Salah, nor did he perform any prayer after it. And by the way, this is a disputed issue. I don't know how, but there's some difference of opinion. And even from some of the Imams of Ahl Sunnah, there's some opinion about the permissibility of performing prayer, yani Sunnah prayer, before the Eid prayer and after it. But it appears, and Allah knows best, that yani it's crystal clear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the Eid prayer as 2 rak'ah. He didn't perform any prayer before that or after it. As far as the adhan and iqama fi salatul Eid, the Shaykh said it is legislated for salatul Eid. I mean, it is not legislated for salatul Eid any adhan nor iqama. And this is because of what is reported by Imam Muslim from Jabir radiallahu anhuma. He said, I performed the prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Eid more than once, even more than twice. فَبَدَعَ بِالصَّلَاةِ قَبْلَ الْخُطْبَةِ بِغَيْرِ أَذَانٍ وَلَا إِقَامَةٍ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began with the prayer before the khutbah, and there was no adhan nor any iqama, reported by Imam Muslim. Okay, now we're coming to the last couple of topics, but a little bit lengthy. Now, so the Shaykh, he says here, Sifat Salat al-Eid wa takbir fiha. Yani the description of the prayer of Eid and the takbir, yani the saying of Allahu Akbar in the Salat al-Eid. So he says, in the first rak'ah, the person يكبر في ركعة الأولى بعد تكبيرة الإحرام والافتتاح والاستفتاح وقبل التعوذ والقراء 6 تكبيرات. So that the person is going to make, and he's going to say Allahu Akbar 6 times in the first rak'ah after, yani separate from تكبيرة الإحرام, yani that you enter the prayer with. After that, and after the opening supplication. Yani in other words, the person is going to begin by making takbir, which is takbiratul ihram, to enter the prayer, and they're going to make the opening supplication, and then they're going to say the takbir, six times before seeking refuge in Allah and before the qira'ah. Yani before ta'awud and before the qira'ah. So, takbiratul ihram, opening supplication, six takbirat, and then seeking refuge in Allah, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, and the recitation of al-Fatiha and whatever a person recites from the Qur'an. He says, so the takbiratul ihram, it is a rukn, yani an essential element of the prayer. It is a necessity. The prayer is not valid without it. The other takbirat, the other times when the person says Allahu Akbar, these are all sunnah. Then after the takbiratul ihram, the person recites the opening supplication, because then the person recites the opening supplication, because this opening supplication is supposed to be in the beginning of the prayer, yani after takbiratul ihram. Then the person comes and recites the extra added six takbirat, saying Allahu Akbar six times, and then seeking refuge in Allah after the six takbir, and then and that is because the seeking refuge in Allah is attached to, is yani its purpose is for the qira'ah. So it should come yani after the extra takbirat, then seeking refuge from Allah, and then reciting from the Quran. Finally, now, in the second rak'ah, the Shaykh says, يكبر في الركعة الثانية قبل القراءة خمسة تكبيرات غير تكبيرة الانتقال. So in the second rak'ah, there should be five pronouncements of takbir other than the takbir that a person recites when they're changing positions. So the person recites takbir, yani to get up for the second rak'ah, and after they get up, yani other than that takbir, there are five takbirat in the second rak'ah. So there are five in the second rak'ah other than the takbir of changing positions, and there are six in the first rak'ah other than takbiratul ihram. The Shaykh says, he says, and this is based on what is reported by from Imam Ahmed, from Amr ibn Shu'ayb, an abihi, an jaddihi, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made takbir in the Eid 12 takbirat. Yani he said takbir 12 times, 7 in the first rak'ah and 5 in the second rak'ah. So the 7 in the first rak'ah are the 6 extra and the takbiratul ihram, and in the second rak'ah the 5 other than the takbir of changing positions. And he said that this is reported, and the Shaykh said it's reported by Imam Ahmed with an isnad that is hasan. Okay, now in terms of the description of the Eid Salah and the takbir in it, he says it has been reported other number of takbirat, yani other than this, yani 7 in the first rak'ah and 5 in the second rak'ah, al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah says, اختلف أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في التكبير وكله جائز. And Imam Ahmed says that in reference to this difference, that some of the companions narrated a different number of takbir, he said that they differ concerning it, all of it is permissible. Every one of them is permissible. So it doesn't have to be yani this number, rather if there are other numbers narrated from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're all permissible. Shaykh says, raising the hands with each takbir, لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يرفع يديه مع تكبير. And this, he says, is reported in the Sunan of Bayhaqi. In any case, this is also a disputed matter about raising the hand with every takbir, and it's a long discussion. But in any case, that's how the Shaykh said it, raising the hands with each takbir. And this is indeed one of the opinions of the scholars. And some scholars hold that the takbir, the first takbir to ihram, raise the hands and not in the others. And Allah knows best about this matter. After this, the Shaykh goes on with this discussion about takbirat. He says that it is, the Shaykh, he says here, it is sunnah to say between each of two takbirs. Yani every time a person says takbir before the next one, it's sunnah, he said, to say Allahu Akbar kabiran, walhamdulillahi kathiran, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin al-Nabi wa alihi wa sallam tasleeman kathira. This is based on the saying of Uqba ibn Amir. I asked Ibn Mas'ud about this, and he said, yani about what do you say between the each of the takbirs on the Eid, and he said that you praise Allah and glorify Him, and you supplicate for salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by al-Bayhaqi bi isnadin an Ibn Mas'ud, as a statement of Ibn Mas'ud and as a practice of Ibn Mas'ud. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, Sadaqa Abu Abdurrahman, yani that Ibn Mas'ud told the truth. And that's one view, that this is what is said in between the takbirat. The Shaykh mentions after that, he says, وَإِنْ أَتَى بِذِكْرٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا فَلَا بَاسْ لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِيهِ يعني ذكر معين يعني عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. But if a person says other than this in between the takbirs, there's no harm and so and so, because there's no specific ذكر that has been specially narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning this particular matter. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, كان يسكت بين كل تكبيرتين سكتة يسيرة. يعني Ibn al-Qayyim says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to be silent in between the two takbirs, not saying anything, yani a brief silence. وَلَمْ يُحْفَظْ عَنْهُ ذِكْرٌ مُعَيِّنْ بَيْنَ التَّكْبِيرَاتِ. And it has not been anything narrated that is preserved, yani that is authentic from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that is a specific ذكر that should be said between the takbirat. نعم. And then the Shaykh goes on to say after that, and if a person is in doubt about the number of takbirat, yani that they should base their yani position on what they are certain about, meaning the lesser number. Yani if a person doesn't know that they do 5 or 6 or 7, then they should count the least number and base it upon that. And I guess that means the imam, right? Because the imam is the one making the takbirat. And we're just following. And then the Shaykh says some other things, but because of the time is so close, I'll try to keep going on. The Shaykh says another point, Salat al-Eid, Rakatan, يجهر الإمام فيهما بالقراءة. The Imam should recite in these two rakats out loud in an audible voice. And this is based on the saying of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite in an audible voice in the two Eid prayers and in the prayer for rain, reported by Ad-Darqutni. And the Shaykh says وَقَدْ أَجْمَعْ عُلَمَاءَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, and this is something that is ijma upon, yani that the recitation and the Eid prayer should be in an audible voice. And this is what has been transmitted by the later generations from the early generations, and the Muslims have continued to do like this. Then the Shaykh talks about what is recited in these prayers. He says it is recited in the first rak'ah after Al-Fatiha, yani سَبِّحْ اسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَالَى. And then in the second rak'ah, بِالْغَاشِيَةِ, yani Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And this is based on the saying of Samura and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to recite in the Eid prayer these two surahs. Or a person might recite in the first rak'ah Surah Al-Qaf, and the second right, and the second right rak'ah suratu Iqtarabat, yani suratu Qamar. This is because it has been reported yani in the Sahih of Muslim and in the books of Sunan, and other than that, that he also used to recite these two surahs instead of the first two. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says mahma qara'a bihi jaza, whatever a person recited, all of it is permissible. Whatever a person recites, all of it is permissible. And just like it is permissible to recite in other prayers, whatever you recite, it's all permissible. However, if a person recites these surahs, then, or what is similar to that, which came in the narrations from the Prophet ﷺ, then this is better. This is a general rule that even when it's permissible for a person to recite whatever they want, if it's known that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite something or do something in a particular manner on a certain occasion, then obviously it's better to do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite on these occasions of the big gatherings of the Muslims. He used to recite surahs that contained the mention of a tawheed and Allah's commands and Allah's prohibitions and the beginning of the creation and the return, yani the resurrection and accounting, and the stories of the prophets along with their nations, and how Allah dealt with those people who denied the prophets and who disbelieved, and how Allah yani sent upon them destruction, and how Allah dealt with the people who believed in the prophets and testified to their truthfulness and yani their salvation and success and protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani those surahs that deal with these topics, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite these in the big gatherings, and for people to benefit from these most important topics. The Shaykh says that it is incumbent, it is obligatory, I mean not obligatory, yambaghi, and it is important that the women attend Salat al-Eid, as it has been mentioned previously, and that that he says, and that it is also important that the person who is giving the khutbah should address the women with a special yani encouragement as a part of the khutbah of Eid. And that is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw that, he didn't reach the women with his speech on the occasion of Eid. He went to the people and he gave them a special talk, yani encouraging them to give sadaqah and so on. And he said, this is yani also important that the women receive a portion yani of whatever the topic is for the khutbah of Eid, that the women should be given attention. That is because of their need for that. And also because it is following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On this point, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions the ikhtilaf about whether the khutbah of Eid is two khutbahs or one. And he argues that there's one khutbah for khutbah of Eid, and that what people normally refer to as the second khutbah is the Prophet going to the women because they didn't hear him and he went and spoke to them. Not that there's really actually two khutbah on the day of Eid, and this is a disputed point, but in any case, I'm just like the note here, because of him mentioning this, there's also some difference of opinion about whether there are actually two khutbah. And Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen has the opinion, and other scholars besides him have the opinion that there's only one khutbah on the day of Eid. Then the Shaykh goes on and he says, Allahumma musta'an, yani performing voluntary prayers before the Salat al-Eid or after it. So from the legal rulings concerning Salat al-Eid is that it is yani makruh, it is disliked, it is detestable that a person perform voluntary prayers before, after the Salat al-Eid in the Eid ground, until the person separates from the Eid grounds, and that is because of the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet went out on the day of Eid and he performed two rak'ah and he didn't perform anything before them or after them, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this is also so that people will not imagine then that there are some yani ratiba, yani some prayers that are regularly attached to the Eid Salat, like it is for Dhuhr or Maghrib or Isha or Fajr. Then he says, Imam Ahmed says, the people of Medina, they did not used to perform any voluntary prayers before after the Eid prayer. And Imam Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, says, I didn't hear anyone from our scholars mentioning anyone from the Salaf of this Ummah that used to pray before or after the Eid prayer. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Hudhayfa radiallahu anhuma, they used to prohibit people from praying before the Salat al-Eid. Then the Shaykh has some more discussion, but the time is almost over. So I'm going to go to his last topic. And the last topic is Sifat al-Takbir fi Eid wa waqtuhu. Yani the description of the Takbir on the day of Eid and its time. He said that it is from the Sunnah on the two Eids that there is what is called al-Takbir al-Mutlaq. Yani the Takbir that is unrestricted. It doesn't have any special manner or time in which or that it's attached to anything. It is the one that is not yani restricted in terms of its time. And the person should raise their voice in saying it, except the women. The women should not raise their voice with takbir. So this takbir on the day of Eid is on the two nights, yani the night before each of the Eids. And it is also in the whole of the days that we are in now, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ يعني so that you complete the number of days yani of fasting, and that you also declare the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him guiding us. He said that the person should raise their voice with this takbir. He's talking about the 2 days of Eid, but also it's in reference to the days of Dhul Hijjah, 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Person should raise their voice with this takbir in the homes and in the marketplaces and in the masjids and in every place where it's permissible to mention the name of Allah. Meaning that there are some places where we shouldn't mention the name of Allah, like in the bathroom. And that a person should raise their voice with this when they are going out to the place of the prayer ground. And that's the other thing in Egypt that I saw in 1988. When I arrived in Alexandria, my first Eid, when we came out of our house, rather in the house, we heard the people saying takbir of Eid. Going to the main road was kind of a little bit far, you could hear them yani far away. That's how many people are raising their voice with takbir. So this is also from the sunnah that we have lost. May Allah help us to yani return to it. May Allah help us to return to it. Naam. The Shaykh says, raising your voice when going out to the Eid place. And this is mentioned yani, in a narration from Ad-Darqutni and other than him from Abdul Rahman Umar. that when they used to go out on the morning of the Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, they used to raise their voice with takbir until they came to the prayer ground, and then they would continue to raise their voice with takbir until the imam came. And he says in reference to this, that is narrated in the Sahih, that we were commanded to bring the women who were menstruating out, and that they should also say the takbir with the takbir of the people. And in one narration in Muslim, it says that they should say the takbir with the people. And this is mustahab lima fihi min izhar shi'ar al-am, yani, because this is a manifestation of the signs or the symbols or the manifestations of Islam. And of course, yani, I think that yani, what is intended here, and Allah knows best, is that the women yani, should be saying the takbir, but not in a voice where they should be heard by men. Allahu A'lam. He said the takbir on the Eid al-Fitr is more emphasized, and that's because of the ayat that he already mentioned, yani, to complete the number of days and to yani, declare the greatness of Allah upon what He has guided us. This is in reference to yani, the Eid al-Fitr specifically, because it's in the ayats of Siyam. And so that this saying the takbir on Eid al-Fitr is more emphasized than it is in the other time, because in this ayat Allah has commanded it. He has commanded it. And we know that in the principles of usul al-amr yaqtadi al-wujub, and if there's a command, this indicates that something is obligatory. Then he said, wa yuzid, and there's an increase in this takbir for Eid al-Adha that is legislated, and that's called the takbir al-muqayyad. That is the takbir that is restricted, it's defined, it's limited, it has a special time and a special manner in which it is done. And that is the takbir which is legislated to be recited after every obligatory prayer that's performed in Jama'ah. So the Imam turns around to the people who are praying behind him, who have prayed behind him. He turns around to them and he begins to say the takbir, and the people also, yani not in unison, the people also, yani should say the takbir. And this is reported by Ad-Darqutni and Ibn Abi Shaybah and other than them from the hadith of Jabir, that the Prophet ﷺ, when he came out on the morning of Arafah, he started saying Allahu Akbar, yani the takbir. This takbir, the beginning of its time, the takbir muqayyad, the one that's restricted, the beginning, yani that's performed at the end of the obligatory prayers in congregation, it begins in reference to the person who is not making hajj. In reference to the person who is not making hajj, it begins on at the prayer of Fajr, Fajr prayer on the day of Arafat, and in the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, the Fajr prayer after the Fajr prayer, and it extends up until the Asr prayer on the last days of the days of Tashriq. Yani, the Arafat is the ninth, the day of Eid is the tenth, and then the 11th, 12th, and 13th a.m. at Tashriq. As far as the person who is in Ihram, yani the person who is performing hajj, then the takbir begins for that person, this takbir, the restricted one, it begins for that person at the prayer, on the dhuhr prayer, on the day of Nahra, yani on the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, yani the day of Eid, on the after the Salatul Dhuhr. And this extends up until the same time, the Asr, on the last days of Tashriq, and that is because the person who's performing Hajj, before that day, before that time, he is busy reciting the Talbiyah. So Al-Imam Ad-Darqutni mentions from Jabir that the Prophet ﷺ used to make the takbir and the Salatul Fajr on the Yawm al-Arafah, on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, up until the Salatul Asr from the last days of Tashriq, at the time when he used to pronounce the Taslim from the Maktubat. Yani at the end of the obligatory prayer, when he said Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then he would immediately begin reciting the takbir. In some of the narrations it says, yani, إِذَا صَلَّى الصُّبْحِ من غداة عرفة أقبل على أصحابه فيقول مكانكم ويقول الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر والله الحمد. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, on the morning of Arafah, when he finished the Fajr prayer, he used to turn to his companions and he would tell them to stay in your place, and then he would recite the takbir. And then the Shaykh says, and this is what we're going to close with, this is the end of what we said, even though there's some more, but this is the end of what we're going to do for today. He says that Imam An-Nawawi said, yani that this, yani reciting of the takbir al-muqayyad on these specific times, yani starting for the people who are not on Hajj, on the 9th, on the day of Arafat from Fajr, up until the last Asr prayer on the days of Tashriq, Imam Nawawi says this is the strongest opinion. Huwa raji wa alayhi amal fil amsar. Yani this is the stronger opinion, and this was the practice of the people in all of the lands of the Muslims. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, أَصَّحُ الْأَقْوَالُ فِي التَّكْبِيرِ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْجُمْهُورِ مِنَ السَّلَفِ وَالْفُقَهَا مِنَ السَّحَابِ وَالْعَائِمَّةِ أَنْ يُكَبِّرْ مِنْ فَجْرِ يَوْمُ الْعَرَفَةِ إِلَى آخِرِ يَوْمُ التَّشْرِيقِ عَقِبَ كُلِّ السَّلَاةِ لِمَا فِي السُنَنِ. Yani Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said that the most authentic of the opinions concerning the takbir, which the majority of the scholars is upon from amongst the Salaf and the scholars of fiqh from amongst Sahaba and the Imams of the Muslims, is that this takbir begins from the Fajr prayer on the day of Arafah until the last of the days of Tashriq, yani after each of the obligatory prayers, according to what is narrated in the Sunan, meaning the Sunan, yani the books of Sunan, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasai. And then the Shaykh narrates one of those narrations on the day of Arafah and the day of Nahr, wa ayyam mina عيدنا أهل الإسلام وهي أيام أكل والشرب وذكر الله. يعني that the day of Arafat and the day of يعني نحر and the days of Mina, يعني the days that the people on Mina on Hajj, he said these are our Eid, O people of Islam, and these are days of eating and drinking and the remembrance of Allah. And a person must be constantly reminding themselves to be engaged in remembrance of Allah. And then the Shaykh says the fact that the people in Ihram, that they don't begin this takbir until the Dhuhr Salat on the day of sacrifice. This is because the talbiyah is discontinued at the stoning of Jamrat al-Aqaba, yani the big Jamra, yani on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. That's when the talbiyah is discontinued, and then after this they would join the rest of the people in this takbir. The Shaykh finally says, and the sifa, yani the description of this takbir, is that a person says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. And there is no harm in people congratulating one another, saying to one another, Taqabbal Allah minna wa minka, may Allah accept from us and from you. He said there is no harm in saying this. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, it has been reported from a group from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they used to say this, that they used to say, Taqabbal Allah minna wa minka. And the Imams of the people of Sunnah have allowed it, have given permission. رَخَّصَ فِيهِ الْأَئِمَّةِ كَأَحْمَدْ وَغَيْرِهِ. Yani that Imam Ahmad and other Imams from the Ahl Sunnah, they have allowed one to do so. What is intended by this congratulating one another is a show of affection and showing yani joy and happiness on the occasion of the Eid. Al-Imam Ahmad said, I don't initiate yani this, yani saying this to someone, but if a person says it to me, then I respond to it. And that is because responding to a greeting is wajib. As far as initiating these words of congratulations, he said, then it is neither a sunnah that we are commanded with, nor is it something that we are prohibited from. So if somebody initiates it, I respond to it. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, and there's also no harm in shaking hands on the occasion of greeting people on the day of Eid. And this is the end of what we could complete for today. And these two pages, inshaAllah, alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions or any comments, inshaAllah, we'll save it till after the salat. If there's any corrections, I know I was reading a little bit fast, and my poor eyesight sometimes is tricking me. But if there's something that I said that is yani clear, please bring it to our attention now before we leave, before we separate. طيب بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خير. Next week, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to start a new book. Next week we're going to start a new book, and the time will be the same time, yani just like it is yani now. The book that we're going to be studying, inshallah, is from the writings of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, How to Escape from Sins, with the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad. And it is a tremendous book. And I think that yani every human being is in need of it, because the Prophet ﷺ said every human being is committing sins, and the best of those commit sins are those who repent. So a person wants to repent from sins, but better than that is to escape from them. If it is possible, may Allah grant us success in doing so. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khairan.